Good morning. It's on? Okay. I'm thankful that we can come here this morning to celebrate and to praise and to worship our Lord. If there are any guests here, I'm not the pastor. Our pastor is sick this morning, but I was on schedule to preach because our pastor is working on some updates to our bylaws for our membership language. Please pray for Pastor Randy as he's getting better. He's praying for us, and he misses not being here this morning. Today's sermon is the first of 2 weeks that we'll be teaching on family worship. And next week, Nick will continue on family worship. Both of us are coming from the same perspective. What does God's Word teach on family worship? Because we need our view, and we need our children's view of God, our children's and our view of Jesus and Christianity to be built on the Word of God. Because if our view is not built on the Word of God, our view of truth is distorted. And then our view of God, ourselves, and others will become distorted. You understand, we can't teach everything on family worship in two sermons. And so more work is going to need to be done after the messages, which means doing things on our part. Somebody asked me, do you know today's Super Bowl Sunday? Is the message going to be shorter because it's Super Bowl Sunday? No, it's not. Just to get that out of the way. But I pray that God uses this simple message in a powerful way. Family worship. When we teach our children, we're teaching our grandchildren. Family worship leaves a legacy. Let's pray. Dear Lord, as we look into your word, Lord, for your truth this morning, Lord, I beg you, Lord, help me to understand it clearly, to preach it clearly, Lord, and Lord, to magnify who you are, to treasure Christ, to know, Lord, that you are God, and you're loving and kind and gracious, and that you are holy and just. Please, Lord, this morning as we study family worship, let it be a springboard, Lord, to truly worship you as families in your church. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Okay, I'm going to try to move the slide. Ba-ba. Family worship. To worship God is to give the proper worth to God. Worship is focusing on and responding to God. Worship is done in spirit and in truth. To worship God is to give the proper worth to God. Worship is to be done both publicly and privately. Worship is a discipline to be cultivated. To worship God is to give the proper worth to God. And this is from Donald Whitney's book, Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life. Some of you may say, but I don't have a family. I'm a single person. Or my kids are grown. I want us to know that this message this morning is for all of us. It's for all of us. Our church covenant. Brianna, can I just ask you when I want to change the slide? Can you change the slide? There? Okay, sorry. In our church covenant, in the third item in our church covenant, it says, we also undertake to maintain family and personal devotions, to religiously educate our children. So when we become a church member, we read the church covenant, we go over that with you as a new church member, and we are we are promising each other and committing to each other that this is what we will do as part of our church covenant. Next slide. Okay, we'll be going over 4 points this morning. Why worship God? Why worship God as a family? And some suggestions to worship God as a family. And some personal applications. Next slide, please. Every father should remember that one day his son will follow his advice instead, his example instead of his advice. Once upon a time, there was a little boy. And his name was Unga Munga. And he had a sister, and her name was Jennifer. And it was Sunday, and they were excited, and their parents were excited. Every Sunday, they would gather together, and they would listen. In fact, even after Sunday, during the week, Unga Munga's father would talk about what happened the previous Sunday. And he would explain to Unga Munga about some changes that maybe would be needed to be made based on what they had learned and saw the Sunday before. Unga Munga's father even talked about what he learned on Sunday with his co-workers. And his co-workers knew whose side he was on, and his co-workers knew who he was cheering for. Sometimes he would tell Unga Munga stories about heroes from the past. And when he forgot some of the details, he would look it up on the computer to make sure he was saying the right thing. And because of his father's excitement and commitment, Unga Munga also wanted to learn as much as he could so that on Sundays, he could understand not only the basics, but some real depth about what was going on. And every Sunday, they would be so excited. They would praise loudly and sometimes say a quiet prayer. They watched and they listened together intently, focused and sincerely interested. They didn't always agree with everything that was said or done, but that didn't stop them from being just as excited to worship the next Sunday. For their hope was in the future, and they remain faithful. Next slide, please. Oh, the slide before that. What are you most excited to share with your family? Now the next slide. The Super Bowl or the Super Victory? In Sunday school this morning, we went over some verses that we're familiar with from Romans, that men exchanged the glory of immortal God for images resembling mortal man, birds, and four-footed animals. You see any birds and four-footed animals up there that some men exchange the worship of God for? They exchange the truth for a lie. And they worship what was created instead of the Creator, who is praised forever. You know, I heard that there'll be tens of thousands of people at the stadium cheering in New York this in just a couple hours, and that millions, maybe 100 million, watching all over the world. The next slide. Tens of thousands of fans screaming, either go Broncos or go Seahawks or millions. But let's see what God's word says about his victory. From Revelation chapter 5. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. That's 100 million. They encircled the throne, but it really means more than we can count. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice, they are saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." And not just 100 million. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." Have fun watching the Super Bowl, but worship God. Worship God. Next slide, please. Why worship God? Because he is worthy of all worship. He is worthy of all worship. It's not that we preach too much about worshiping God. It's that we preach not enough of worshiping God. Not enough of the majesty of who holy God is. The next slide, and we're just going to go through some verses quickly. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Psalm 29. And from Psalm 99. Exalt the Lord our God. Worship as at his footstool. Holy is he. And from Psalm 150, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The next slide. Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. The next slide, a verse that we studied not too long ago. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. If you can leave it on there. In these verses, these short two verses, not only instructs us to worship, but contains the elements of worship. It tells us the motivation to worship, the mercies of God. God's mercies are everything that he has given us that we don't deserve. His love, his grace, the Holy Spirit, everlasting peace, eternal joy, saving faith, comfort in our time of need, his strength, wisdom, hope, patience, kindness, honor, glory, righteousness, security, eternal life with him, forgiveness of our sin, reconciliation, justification, sanctification, and so much more. The knowledge and understanding of these graces from God motivates us to pour forth worship of God and thanksgiving to God. It tells us the manner of our worship, to present our bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, to give God all of who we are. Our thoughts, our attitudes, our speech, our deeds, all presented to God as an act of worship. And the method of our worship. So the motivation of our worship, the mercies of God, the manner of our worship, to present our bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, and the method of our worship, by the renewing of our mind. There is only one way to renew our mind, and that's by the Word of God. The truth, the true knowledge of who God is, the true knowledge of the mercies of God, and then we're back again, learning His mercies and praising Him and worshiping Him, holy God, all the more. It's conviction by the Word of God that leads affection to God, affection of God, and to treasure Christ. God is worthy of all worship. Next slide. And why do we worship God as a family? I want to stop a little bit here. Family isn't just our household, but we here are a church family. And we worship as a family. And God's word instructs us to. Do you realize family worship of God began before there was such a thing of church as church? The Bible teaches us that, right? Family worship was here before Christ was born. Family worship of Holy God was here before the temple was built. Family worship of Holy God was here before Israel was a tribe. Family worship of Holy God is taught throughout Scripture. And I'll just go over some verses. The next slide, please, Brianna. From Proverbs, train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. From Psalms 145, one generation will declare your works to the next and will proclaim your mighty acts. From Isaiah 38, the living, they praise you as I am doing today. Parents, tell their children about your faithfulness. And the next slide, from Ephesians chapter 6. Fathers or parents, do not exasperate your children. Do not frustrate them. But instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And from 2 Timothy, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings. How from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus, teaching the scripture to our children so that one day we pray that they may be wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And the next slide. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel. Hear, listen with the intent to obey, O Israel. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Repeat them again and again, again and again. Teach them to your children again and again. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road. Talk about them when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. We are to love our God with everything we are. We don't just go through the motions as Christians. We worship God with everything we are, all that we possess, all our abilities given to God in worship. He is worthy of that worship. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. God's word is to reside in our hearts. God's word is what we turn to for direction. God's word is what we turn to when we need to make decisions in our life. Impress them on your children. When you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Is God's word, are God's truths a topic at our breakfast table? Is God's word, his truth, a topic at our lunch table, especially after we gather some of us as family after church on Sundays? Do we talk about the sermon? Do we talk about what God taught us in Sunday school? Do we talk about how great and majestic God is and how much of a treasure Christ is? When we take our kids on an errand and we're driving, are we talking about the truths of God? The truths in the Bible? Are we engaging each other to think deeply about life? About creation, about how God works in our relationships, how we can serve and worship God in our schools, in our workplaces, and in our church? Is God's word weaved into our conversations? If we don't teach our children the truth, then what they will be learning is half-truths. And they will act like these half-truths are the whole truth. They will exchange the truth about God for the lies that this world tells about God. And if our children base their decisions on lies instead of on the truth, they will be led to very poor decisions, poor decisions that have eternal consequences. Verses 8 and 9, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Is the word of God ready in our lives to come forth? Are we ready with the word of God? Either by memory, or do we have the Bible on our phones or the Bible with us and kind of have an idea of where to look for verses just to help us throughout the day? And do people know that when they come by our desks at work, our homes, that this is a home, this is a person that worships God, and we're letting the world know. Truth abides in this house. This house tries its best, and we fail so much, but we try our best to worship God and hold to God's standards. You know, one of the things I think most of the kids knew when they came to our house, there would never be an R-rated movie that they could watch at our house. They would come and Joyce would have verses all over the place. And we're not perfect. But it does change when you let people know that you serve God. You're kind of a little bit more motivated to live up to that too. Take a little sidebar here, the most important sidebar. So we know we should worship God. We know we should worship God as a family. We know we should teach our kids over and over again. But what is this lesson, or what is the most important lesson that we need to teach ourselves, our families, and our children over and over and over again? We need to teach our children to have a personal relationship with Christ. This is the heart of God's plan, I believe, for family devotions, for family worship. There is only one God. And that one God is the Lord. And the Lord is to be our God. And the Lord is the creator of all things. And the Lord is good. And he's loving. And he's holy. And we were created to worship God. And we are called to obey God. But because of sin, we have been separated from a relationship with holy God. And now we deserve God's punishment. And now we deserve hell. But Jesus came to become our perfect replacement. Jesus received God's punishment for us on the cross. The cross is a wondrous thing that our kids need to learn about from a young age. Christ lived a perfect life. He paid for our sins on the cross. He came back to life on the third day. Christ is victorious over sin. Christ is victorious over death. And Christ wants us to put our trust and faith in him for our eternity. We need to teach our kids to turn from their sins, to run to Christ, to love the Lord as we're meant to love the Lord. To have confidence in the return of Christ. To have confidence that one day we will be with Christ forever. And to worship God with everything we have. That's the number one responsibility we have as parents. We have as people in our church family to teach our children that they must have a personal relationship with Christ. There is no other option. The primary relationship we're created for isn't to be a son or a daughter or a husband or a wife or a father or mother. The primary relationship we're originally created for was a relationship with God. If we don't positively influence our children for the need of Jesus Christ, then we have failed as parents. We have failed in our mission as parents. And I will sound like a broken record because this is very important. There is not a more important job for a parent than to teach and show our children how to have a personal relationship with God. What good will it do to raise a child, giving him the best you can, the best education, the best childhood, if one day they stand before God on Judgment Day and don't know Jesus? We have the opportunity to teach them the truth about God every day, year after year. I like math. A lot of you know that. I didn't do the exact number. But 365 days in a year times 18 years is 6,000, over 6,500 opportunities to share Christ with our kids from the day they're born. Until Christ returns, this world is full of poison. Let our homes be homes that teach the cure and the antidote for the poison. It is a gospel that has the power of God. It is a gospel that has the power to bring salvation to those who believe. Okay, the next slide. Why worship God as a family? God designed the family to be the best unit that we have on earth to worship Him. The next slide. When we worship God as a family, when we have specific times that we say we're going to worship our God together, it centers the home on Christ, where it should be. It teaches Christian character and morals, which is great. It encourages peace and binds our families together. It builds unity in the family. It provides common knowledge in our relationships. We'll see things from the same point of view. We'll understand where each other is coming from. It trains our children for corporate worship. It'll train our kids to sit under God's word. It'll teach our kids how to sing praises. It'll teach our kids how to pray if we have family worship together. Number six, it encourages children in Christ's likeness and ourselves, right? It's also for us as parents. It reinforces biblical spiritual headship and authority. It provides systematic discipleship. We are called to make disciples of nations, and I believe that call for fathers specifically to start making disciples with your own families. And number nine, it provides a generational model to testify of God. My prayer is that by God's grace, and that as one generation teaches the next, that it gets carried on. Because remember in that first slide about family worship, that family worship leaves a legacy, and that when we teach our children, we're also teaching our grandchildren, and we're teaching our grandchildren's children. So I pray, men who are here with children and women, if the father's not able to teach your children, teach our children well, because you're teaching generations. Number 10, it provides a framework based on God's truth. We want our children's worldview to be based on the truth of God's word. Our worldview should be based on God's word, not on what the world teaches us on how to view things. And underneath there I have, if in God's word it says that fathers are to teach and parents are to teach, then that means that parents, we are the best to lead our family in family worship. There are no professionals here. Don't leave it to the professionals. Yes, they come and we learn in church and at sermons, but that's not a substitute. That's not a substitute. Think about it. Who do you expect to teach your kids manners? Who do you want to teach your kids when is the right age to date? Who should be the ones teaching our kids to eat healthy and to brush their teeth? How much more important is teaching about God's love and teaching the gospel and teaching the word of God? Parents, it's our responsibility. We have the primary responsibility to teach God's word to our families. But if God says that, then we have confidence, and I want you to listen here, we have confidence that we are the best equipped to teach our families. God wouldn't do it if it wasn't the best plan. Parents, you are the best equipped to teach your children about God. But it will take discipline. Last week, Pastor Randy shared that no good thing comes apart from discipline. And family worship is a good thing. But it will not come apart from discipline. It, parents, will take discipline to fulfill a responsibility in the area of family worship. Men, women, and again, not just for parents, because our church is a church family, we, as adults, need to be growing in the knowledge of God's word. We need to be growing in our faith from wherever we're at so that we can fulfill the role that God has called us to. Wherever we are in our walk with the Lord, we should be growing. Our families should see us worshiping God in spirit and truth before and so that we can lead our children. Our family needs to see us worshiping God in word and in deed. Our families need to see us treasuring Christ above all else, adoring Christ, building our treasures in heaven. Our families need to see us confessing our sins, admitting our sins, and fighting our sins. We are the best possible example for godly parenting, for holy living, and for worshiping God. But how can we do that practically? Next slide, please. Some practical suggestions. Give God his proper worth throughout each day. Read a Bible storybook together. Participate regularly in church services and church events. Serve God together practically. Do things as a family together that serve God. Learn truth. Use different methods that teach God's truth. Catechisms, a creed, a Bible app, a Bible study. Learn truths in a way that's going to be effective and is going to communicate to the kids at their age and their level the truths that they can understand. Review the sermon with your kids. Show your kids that you are personally responding to it rightly. You know, sometimes you go home and you're driving and you're with your wife and, oh, what Pastor Randy said, that's a really good lesson for you to learn. Yeah. Respond personally, rightly, personally. Praise God through song and music together. Read, study, memorize scripture together. Pray to God together for his purposes. Give God his proper worth throughout your life. As you're living your life day by day, show those around you that God has the proper place of honor in your life. And we can't do it on our own power, right? Depend on the power of the Holy Spirit. You can ask my kids, they're not here. I did everything perfectly, so they're perfect kids. I did everything so imperfectly, you won't believe it. If I told you some of the things, you'd say, why are you even talking then? But God is gracious. He's very gracious. And some of these things I did terribly in. But he's growing all of us. And I want to encourage you to persevere. I want to encourage you to allow God to grow you in different areas. And then give him the glory. Give him all the praise for what's going on in your family. Next slide, please. Application. Make a plan. First of all, have your own personal devotions to worship God. Have devotions with your spouse. Have devotions with your family and with your church. Have a schedule. Be specific. You know, you go to work every day because you know you need to be there at a certain time. If your workplace told you show up whenever you wanted, how many of us would show up every day? But because you schedule it and you know you need to be there, you do it. So this isn't meant to be rigid and controlling, but it's meant to put in proper importance and priority loving God in your life with your family. So just make a schedule and be specific in time and place. And be patient and gracious to each other as you go through this. And make it a priority. Make it more important than other things in your life. Be disciplined and be committed. Persevere. Persevere. And be dependent on God. God does it all. God has called us as parents to this, and he will equip us for it. But we need to be disciplined on our part. Okay, the next slide. No time like the present to get started. So, immediate application. Come, let us worship. This is my response for this morning. Pastor Randy's not here, so I don't know if we'll be having a response time. So this is our response time. I ask those of us who want to, I have some handouts on the front of the pew. If you want to come up and grab them. I like to get people out of the pews and doing stuff when I preach. So this is your opportunity. So there's some handouts in the front. This is going to be the next part of the message. So if you want to come forward, grab one, and go back to your seat. Okay, this is time. Who's going to be? It says, I will do all of this. No, it doesn't. And Brianna, if you can do the next slide, please. What you guys are getting is what's called a catechism for young children. It's just one. Yeah, it's just one. And there also is some web sites for some other things. And if you're like me, I didn't know what to teach my kids. But this catechism, I guess, is a method with a question and answer to teach truths from the Bible. And this catechism for young children has 145 questions. And then on the last page, there's also some other resources. One is a New City Catechism that Pastor Randy said is a good one. And then there's a Catechism for Boys and Girls that's based on our Baptist faith and message. So I included the links for those. But I printed out for this one, or actually Lynn did for me, print out these 145 questions and answers that could be an introduction to teach our children and ourselves some basic truths as we do our family worship. So I put some questions on there that we can go through really quickly. Number 4, how can you glorify God? So you question, and then your child would answer. So we're going to do this. So those of you who have it, if I say number 4 is, how can you glorify God? You're supposed to answer. Okay, great. Number 31. What was the sin of our first parents? Okay, and number 37, what does every sin deserve? Okay, number 40, who can change a sinner's heart? Number 46, did our Lord Jesus Christ ever commit the least sin? Okay, number 51, what is sanctification? Okay, we can do a little better than that. Okay, number 51, what is sanctification? And number 55, who will be saved? And number 57, what is it to believe or have faith in Christ? If I had this when my kids were younger, I would have seemed pretty smart in the Bible. I didn't even know this thing existed. And so I wanted to pass that out just as kind of a springboard for us, or something we can use in our family worship time. The next slide. It's the same slide that we started with. Family worship. When you teach your children, you're teaching your grandchildren. You're giving your children a model to follow for their children and their children's children. And I pray that as we do this, that in the generations, we have just continued faithfulness throughout our church families. Family worship leaves a legacy. And because there's always some of us that do better with negative motivation instead of positive motivation, no family worship also leaves a legacy. What legacy are we leaving with our families? Let's pray. Dear Lord, you alone are holy, Lord. You alone can change hearts. But Lord, I believe with all my heart that you desire that every person come to saving grace through Jesus Christ. And I believe, my Lord, with all my heart, that you have called us to share that message with love and with conviction, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that we start with our own hearts. And then, Lord, I pray that we start with our spouses to worship you together. And then with our families, our church families, Lord. And Lord, give us the desire, Lord, to just want to worship you, holy God, as families, as you designed it to be, Lord, for your glory. So that you may be made much of in our homes, and that you may be made much of in our churches. and in the world that you created, Lord. Please, Lord, come quickly. Please, Lord, let us look forward with anticipation to the day that you do come, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.